this really represents kind of the, there's a new TiVo taking shape now, and in, I want to demonstrate that with one simple use case. I pick up my remote, my voice remote, and I say, find Game of Thrones. In a sort of a pure TiVo environment, you would be leveraging a TiVo voice natural language understanding technology. You would see a TiVo guide. This is a next-gen Hydra guide that might be running on a smart TV. It might be an Android-based guide or a set-top box-based guide. It might be a set-top box from Aris or Motorola or our very own TiVo set-top box. That voice command would return results, and you would see, obviously, Game of Thrones, but you would have activated search technology behind the scenes. You would have activated a recommendation technology behind the scenes. You would have activated ad targeting technologies behind the scenes. And of course, all of this is presented through a lot of metadata, image metadata, factual metadata, descriptive metadata. And that one simple use case really flexes sort of the entire TiVo portfolio. So I use that to give you a sense or feel of what the TiVo product portfolio looks like today. If you're a content owner, the world used to be this beautiful, wonderful, rich, simple place on the left in which, as a network, you worried about great programming, and then you thought about cable or satellite and or broadcast television. Your audience was sitting in front of a TV in a living room or bedroom, maybe a sports bar down the street, and that was it. And we've all worked at companies that built billion-dollar businesses around that model. That's not gone completely, but the world today for content owners looks much more like the diagram on the right. Surrounded by insurmountable opportunity, dozens of distribution channels, and this is super exciting, also super challenging, right? So now, as a programmer, I hear the term direct-to-consumer in my conversations with content owners now more than ever. That wasn't really part of the vocabulary, but it is now. Because as content providers, I have to think about all the various forms of VOD, right? Subscription, transaction, premium. I have to think about OTT players, so it's Netflix, it's Hulu, it's Vudu, Roku, etc. I have to think about TV Everywhere apps. I think about those smart TVs. I think about IP streamers from Xiaomi to Hulu to Apple, etc. Oh, and I think about Facebook. I think about programming or formatting my assets for Facebook. I think about Snapchat and vertical orientation. So that's great, really exciting, but also really challenging. And at the end of each of those sort of arrows or beyond the circles, you see new platforms, you see new ad formats, and you see a highly fragmented audience. So that's one of the reasons why metadata is now entering into the discussion further upstream, and the content owners themselves are paying much more attention to that than they ever have before. So that's good news for us. We're in the metadata business. When, you know, again, this is sort of a view of the metadata, the TiVo product portfolio. The bottom blue bar there talks about video metadata. That's film, television, and digital first, sort of next-gen video coming from the MCNs, from publishers, and networks as well. We cover sports metadata. We cover music metadata, games, and books. And that metadata is, again, both factual, writer, producer, director. It's also descriptive and more qualitative. It touches on mood, theme, tone. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. The metadata, though, is foundational to all of our products and probably many of yours, right? The metadata feeds the user experience. The metadata drives search optimization. It drives recommendations. It drives targeting. So again, metadata is foundational to and core to our business in a number of ways. This view, again, what you typically see in the guide and how I think a lot of people think about metadata and how they've interacted with it in the past is what you see above the line here. It's actor, it's summary, it's a bio, it's image metadata. So all the artwork that appears in your guides, we count that as metadata. But you click the info button and you start seeing some of these attributes, right? Are there any awards associated with this? How long is it? What language is it? What format is it? And the deeper you go, I think the more interesting it gets. I actually really love kind of this bottom category, these deep descriptors and keywords, because I think that's where there's increasing sort of high value and things get interesting with new technologies, some of which we've been talking about here over the course of the day. So here's what we don't do. We don't do AI. What we do is a lot of work in and around machine learning. So machine learning is kind of a subset of AI. What Microsoft presented earlier, what Azure does, is true AI, like really high-powered signal processing around the video signal, the audio signal, and that's super cool. We're going to partner and work with folks like that. Google has efforts in this space, obviously, as does Netflix is working with True AI and a number of others. What we're focused on today, and in fact, we've been leveraging machine learning technology for a number of years. We ingest data from literally thousands of sources. We pull from partners, studios and networks, chief among them. We pull from open web, from white label metadata sources. We pull and monitor the social signal. So we, you know, constantly, every day, are pulling from thousands of sources. We have to normalize. We ingest, we normalize, we extract, we start drawing associations between entities, between celebrities, and between works. We start enriching that data. We apply TiVo ID so that we can keep it organized. And so our customers can share using a common piece of glue, that TiVo ID. We also start developing graph relationships. So I think that this is an ontology, right? It's the relationships between talent and assets. And I'll show a little more of this in a minute. But that becomes really important. It's not just descriptions around a given film or television show. It's how it relates to sort of the rest of the entertainment ecosystem. The middle category here, NLP, is really interesting. And there's a couple of different subsegments within NLP. NLP is natural language processing. It's not voice recognition. Voice recognition uses NLP, but NLP is about parsing language, written words, essentially. So we leverage latent semantic analysis. That means you have words, but you have to know what they mean. And we use that technology to derive some of these weightings or values associated with entities. Some words are more important than others when you're using it to describe a movie, for example. These are deep descriptors. So from that iceberg slide, the very bottom category, those deep descriptors come into play here. NLG is interesting, natural language generation. So it's almost the opposite. If you have about a dozen data points on any given topic or item or person, you can actually create a written summary, a bio, a write-up in pure human readable, like beautifully structured language. That can all be done programmatically. You've probably seen that with Yahoo Sports reports or financial reports. Every day are generated programmatically using NLG. As the metadata space kind of explodes and as the content is everywhere and there's so much of it, that can't be solved with people writing by hand these beautifully structured things. You'll see more and more NLG coming into play. So I think that's pretty cool. In the upper right here, the audio and video signal processing, I mentioned that's sort of the work of Google, Amazon, and others, and Microsoft. We keep a close eye on it. We sort of scratch the surface. Where we are doing signal processing around images, we apply in sort of an editorial workflow. So images have become critical to user discovery. I mean, this is how you see and find the shows that you want to watch. So that has to be generated every episode, every season, you know, every asset has multiple images associated with it. We use facial recognition at times to frame and crop and basically automate the workflow process. So that's just one example. So as a whole, there's no one sort of machine learning solution. You have to look at it in aggregate. This is a stack, and that's that's critical technology for us. This is going to allow us to, we've invested and been sort of leveraging machine learning for many years. We're going to be doing a lot more of that moving forward. So here is the sausage being made. On the left, it's a screenshot from one of our database interfaces. So this is around Mad Max Fury Road, obviously. Here are some of the images I mentioned. You know, poster art is critical, but so is shots, production photos, like the green screen photo there. Actor-character pairs are important. Having photos in era. Do you want the young Clint Eastwood or the old Clint Eastwood? We have all of that image metadata. And then red carpet becomes important as well. The real purpose of this slide is back to those deep descriptors. Look on the lower right here. All the words behind, I've highlighted a few of them, but behind that we have about, 800 or so keywords that we've automatically generated. So we use those machine learning technologies to generate keywords for and associated with Mad Max Fury Road. The numbers to the right are the weighted scores. So post-apocalyptic, absolutely, that gets an 85. That's a central theme, you know, of this movie. Blood donor, that's a central theme of the movie as well. There's a tyrant, so here's tyrannical, there's transfusions, Ozploitation. I didn't know this existed. I thought this was cool. This is a category, a sub-genre of films by and about, you know, Australia or by the Australian film industry. So those keywords are really important because We might be searching by famous actor, we might be searching for award winners, but we might be looking for something a little weirder, a little more interesting. We might need and use those deep descriptors in search, recommendations, and various forms of targeting. So if you think about this as static data, right? I mean, we generate it dynamically, but once you have it in a collection, it's kind of there associated with a given asset or entity. This is more dynamic. So we constantly poll social media. So we have social data that drives trending information, and we use that to weight relationships. So these are entities on the right, right? It's actors, it's assets, it's films, television shows. We understand relationships between them. So in this case, we knew, and we actually saw Get Out bubbling up early on social media. That social media became a really important driver for success for this film. And we saw that. And so we started sharing that data with our customers, the cable operators, consumer electronics manufacturers, online OTT customers. But behind the scenes, we have this entity graph. We know that Jordan Peele is half, an awesome half of Key and Peele. But before that, I didn't realize they met on Mad TV 10 plus years ago. Following the trail sort of down, Jordan Peele obviously wrote, produced, directed Get Out. Allison Williams stars in that. She also stars in Girls. She co-stars with Zosia Mamet, David Mamet's daughter, who wrote and produced Glengarry Glen Ross. So we're sort of 2 or 3 degrees of separation. And that's important. You want to know that. If you think about that discovery use case, I'm exploring about what I might want to watch next. If I'm a fan of this particular actress, then I am. Great. I get to follow that path. But another important aspect of this is it's dynamic. So the blue lines here represent the weighted relationships. And if, for example, Allison Williams is nominated for an Emmy or an Oscar, we're gonna increase the weight of those relationships. She's gonna be a little more important in this world. And that's dynamic, and that changes every day. That's part of the metadata, the dynamic metadata that we generate, produce, and then feed to our clients. Can I hold questions till the end? Thanks, but I'll come back. So something we're doing, historically, TiVo has played a role kind of in the middle of the metadata life cycle. We've looked at studios and networks as partners, right? They give us their metadata in various forms. It's kind of scrappy. It wasn't mission critical for decades, really, right? But now we pull that in. We normalized it. We cleaned it up. We enrich it. We package it and sell it to the distributors, cable operators, et cetera. So our role, our sort of value prop was really important, was clear and well understood. What's happening, if you remember back to that distribution, that kind of wheel, right, and all these distribution channels, and the fact that content owners are now wrestling with metadata further upstream because they have to think about how their content gets out to market. What we've done is we're opening up sort of our role. We're opening up our technology and tools. We're productizing it further upstream. So on the left, right, we're making our tools available to the content owners now for the first time. And we're creating a metadata portal now. We're opening up two-way APIs so that content owners can edit basically our database directly. We're also opening up the downstream solution or the distribution solution. So think of data syndication, because all those spokes on the wheel, it's really messy. I mean, it's really ugly work, but it's work that we were already doing because those are our customers. So our network is a customer network, but now it's a distribution network. We've been running a piece of the business out of our European operation, doing data distribution for many years. We're now opening that up and really productizing that for the rest of the world. So the key point here is that this end-to-end metadata life cycle has become critical, mission critical to the content owners. Just lastly, I've got another minute here. What's next? Microsoft presented on this earlier. This is a different view, but we think about scene level metadata. What happens over time, right? So there's static metadata, but then if you really want to break down what's going on scene by scene, you want to know what actor and or character is there in each moment. So this is time, left to right. Here's the beginning of the movie on the left. Here's the end on the right. I can also identify the objects that may appear in a scene. So if I'm an advertiser, these things are important. If I'm a rights holder, these things may be important. Mood, theme, tone, that becomes important for search or editing, maybe distribution. Again, maybe advertising wants to associate with certain themes or tones. What locations do these scenes take place? Are there certain events, brands? So Sony Walkman plays a role here, as does Microsoft Zune. Hello, Microsoft Zune, anybody? It was really funny. It's not a paid placement. Microsoft was not particularly happy, but it was a great scene where the Microsoft Zune comes into play. And just to tie it back, I mean, I haven't done direct links, but again, you remember sort of the natural the machine learning and AI technologies. This is kind of where they apply. So it's a little bit of a roadmap of, well, if these are the things, the data that we need to extract and associate at the scene level or linear, these are the technologies that will help get us there. So that, in a nutshell, is how we start to think about the importance of metadata moving forward and some of the core technologies helping drive our business. So I think that's a wrap if I'm out of time. Are there any more questions? Do we have time for a question or two? Well, we definitely, the short answer is no, not really. We're not a B2C business in any way, shape, or form. We're B2B2C, right? So we think about what our customers want, and they interface with subscribers and users all the time. We do pay a lot of attention to targeting and individual behavioral patterns, preferences, et cetera. But so we pay attention to that signal on the inbound, and that influences how we build some of our products and services. But we're not building tools that would enable end users to edit metadata directly.
Awesome. Scott, that was great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Give him a round of applause.
Thanks, everyone.
That was fantastic.